Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yes, you, you, and you. Let us exalt the name of the Lord, our God, together on today. I am just so excited that you have joined me on today. I want to send out a special shout out to all of my listeners and those that are far and near, those that are across the country and in other countries. We want you to know we are so excited that you have joined us on today. Truly, this is a day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice, yes, we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. No matter what you're going through, what pastor trial that you're facing on today, I want you to know we are going to be glad. Be glad in it. Glad that you still have your life, health, and strength. Glad that you're still clothed in your right mind. Glad that you still know the Lord our God. Still glad that God is still yet on the throne and able to do all things but fail. I tell you, child of God, on today I have another just exciting lesson on today that I know that you are going to be extremely blessed on today. We're going to be talking about a principle, and we're going to be talking on today about the perfection and possession of patience. We're living in a time where it's very trying. Many people are going through many tests and trials during this time. But even in all our tests and trials and things, we must possess our soul with patience and things and letting God have his perfect work in and through our lives through patience. And so we're going to look at that on today and gain a greater understanding even more about perfection and possession of patience. So on today, if you grab your Bible, come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're getting ready to go right straight to the scripture and to the word of the Lord on today and see what the word of the Lord has to say in regards about this topic. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to be greatly, greatly blessed by it. And so just make yourself right at home and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. Now we're going to be looking at Luke chapter number 21, verses 7 through verse 22. And I'm going to read that in your hearing. Again, that's Luke chapter number 21, and we're going to look at verses number 7 through verse number 22. And I will read that in your hearing. It reads on this line. And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And he said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, 'Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogue and into prison, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts. and not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head shall perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, and I will read that in your hearing. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Our thought for today is, patience is the display of faith and the confidence of knowledge, which allows our vision and dreams to become reality. With patience, we perfect the present and possess the future. Now, let's take a look at that as our thought for today. Said many individuals think of Job as the model of patience. Consequently, people who amplify this virtue are said to have the patience of Job. Perhaps the real hallmark of patience ought to be God, who has created, called, and cooperated with mankind for thousands of years. In 1 Peter 3 and 20, Peter wrote, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. God waited many years for salvation of eight souls, with some and the consequence. God continued to wait for the appropriate for man's salvation. Now, the fullness of time was a long time coming. Finally, God brought about the incarnation when he manifested himself through Jesus Christ and became the perfect sacrifice for redemption. You'll see that over in Galatians 4 and 4. God then placed his church in the hands of 12 menial trained disciples and their follow believers, trusting them to do greater things than he had done. Now, leaving behind only the promise of the power from the Holy Ghost and the leadership of several men whom he had trained, Jesus ascended and entrusted his followers to evangelize the world, and glorious things were done. Now, following the ascension, the disciple received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and experienced tremendous revival. However, in the midst of the revival, the book of Acts also records leadership conflicts, personality clashes, as well as disappointment. After nearly 2,000 years, believers still struggle to manifest mutual trust. We impatiently demand certain behaviors from fellow believers and exhibit little patience for their development, growth, and maturity. Now, let's take a look here as we further look at the place of patience. Let's, first of all, let's take a look at the definition. Now, according to the Merriam-Webster, one idea of the word patient is bearing pains or trial calmly and without complaint. The dictionary.com defines the word patient as the quality of being patient, as the bearing of provocation and annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint or loss of temper or irritation or the like. Number two, an ability or willingness to suppress relentlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay, to have patience with the slow learner. Okay, 3, quiet, steady perseverance, even temperance, care, diligence, and to work with patience. So here we find patience is the ability to endure, even when you're being annoyed or even when misfortune comes or even when pain is all around, is being able to endure all of this and having an even temper or being steady or being quiet even when you're going through sometimes some of the hardest things that life can even bring. Now, God's pattern of patience with mankind, let's take a look at that. Numerous times in biblical history, God could have hurried the process of obedience and conformity and redemption. However, in his patience, God waited for the maturity and performance of mankind. For example, we see 1 Peter 3:20. God aids and assists our faithfulness and honors our prayers, but his pattern is to empower and enable his people. As the old adage says, God has no hands but our hands and no feet but our feet. God empowers believers to do his work on earth, and he patiently waits the results. It is difficult to imagine the immense patience God has with hardened, stiff-necked, and stubborn people. Now, let's take a look further about mankind's patience and practice of patience with God. Hebrews 11 chronicles a long list of faithful followers who were patient with God. They held their conviction that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6. They endured, persevered, waited, and suffered as they waited the promise of deliverance and intervention from God. All they that had was faith and a glimpse of things to come. And so when you begin to look at the book of Hebrews, you'll begin to see how these people, they endured and how they held on unto their faith in the face of adversity, even in the face of cruel markings and all of the different things that was going on in and through their life. They held on. And so even on today, God is encouraging the people, hold on. Yes, you may be enduring some hard tests and trials and tribulation that is going on even in your life today, but God is wanting us to hold on and hold fast unto his unchanging hand. And a lot of times we don't understand or can't figure out, Lord, what to hold on when everything is slipping away. What on to when I'm facing all of these trials and they're not feeling good and it's feeling uncomfortable. Hold on to the promise. Hold on to what the word of God said. Hold on to the fact that he is still yet in control and that he understands what you're facing and dealing with even in your life. And the scripture over in Hebrews 11:13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, they exhibit a pattern of hope and belief for the future generation to realize the promise, greatness, and the fulfillment. They did not complain about not having it all, or knowing it all, or seeing it all. Rather, here it is, they laid foundations, they built altars, they established beginnings, and they labored faithfully as they trusted God to inspire, to lead, and to develop those who would follow. And so it is, children of God. We must, even though we don't see it and we can't sometimes put our hands on it, We must be faithful. Be faithful unto God, faithful unto the things of God, faithful unto what God is doing in and through the lives of his people. And just being faithful unto the things of God and watch God bring it to pass on behalf of his children, and just patiently waiting with a praise on your heart, with the song of Zion in your spirit, unto God and unto the Lord of Lords. Now let's look at adding patience to Christian development. Now let's look at that, how we add patience to our development. Let's take a look at that. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 6 states, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, and to patience godliness. So here we are, we constantly adding virtue and strength to our life. Yes, you're enduring and going through a test or a trial even right now. But while you're going through that test and trial, God is trying to add some Christian character unto your life and add character unto the people in the body of Christ. While we're going through our trials and tribulation, God is still yet adding something. And so here, let's look at this. Now, in these verses, two vital links is taking place. Temperance and patience are strategically placed between knowledge and godliness. Patience is a fruit of temperance. Only after we have developed temperance or self-control can we truly be patient. Now, experiences in life, the alternating highs and lows, the good and bad, sickness and health, honor and shame, add to our life level of tolerance and understanding that becomes Christian maturity. Now, as we find ourselves going through these various stages in life, our highs and our lows, our health and even during time of sickness, honor and even during time of shame, we are adding to our life that virtue of self-control as well as patience. Now, let's look at it. Perfecting work of patience. Now, let's look and see how this thing is being perfected even in our lives. Suffering both requires and builds patience. Suffering has the ability to move Christians towards perfection. The life of Jesus Christ was that of patience. His living, his teaching, his suffering, and even his death made him the perfect sacrifice for the sin of humanity. And you can find this over in Hebrews chapter number 5, verses number 8 through 9. For mankind to live up to the standard of human perfection, similar to that of Jesus Christ, is impossible. But practicing patience as we live through the process of life and experiencing of suffering, always keep an eye on eternity, advancing us towards perfection. And so as we going through our tests and trial, keeping our eyes towards eternity, like the psalmist written, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's over in Psalms 122. As we forever looking unto God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, the only perfect person was Jesus Christ. And he is the only source of propitiation or atonement for mankind. And he is our model as we reach for perfection. Jesus Christ is the only hope mankind has for receiving his imputed righteousness. Romans 4, verses 16 through verse 24, which is man's only hope for finally achieving perfection. And it all is in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. who was the perfect sacrifice, who was the perfect man who walked the first face of the earth. Now let us look further. Made complete and patient. Now we talked about the suffering aspect, but now let's look at the aspect of being made complete in that place and point of patience. As we continually appropriate the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, we continue to grow, mature, and reach for perfection through Christ, resting our hope for salvation in Him. In the Old Testament, the high priest every year entered into the holiness of holies with fear, the veils on the hem of his garments and the rope around his waist vehemently reminded him that his venture could be fatal, and his venture could be fatal. His sole purpose was to sprinkle a few drops of blood on the mercy seat with the expectation that God would grant forgiveness of sins of the nation for the sins of the nation. The pause between the priest sprinkling blood and the manifestation of the Shekinah presence of God must have seemed to him an eternity. He anxiously awaited God's acceptance. Now, in a similar fashion, the temporal pause between the cross and eternity seemed endlessly for all creation groaning to receive redemption. And we'll see that over in Romans 8, verses 19 to 22. Now, the pause between receiving the Holy Ghost and the final judgment seemed everlasting. Between trials and the blessing seems forever. Between sorrow and joy seems sometime unending. Between doubt and certainty seem so far apart. And a never-ending journey spurs and paws that wears on the fabric of human existence, horns the spiritual part of us and advances us towards the completion in Christ. It is our constant hope to receive the promises of Christ that makes us complete. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 8, verses 24 and verse number 25. Now let us look further. Made strong in weakness. Let's take a look at that. Being made strong in our weakness. It's that patience turns the tides of exhaustion and defeat and failure into glorious victory. Whether singing psalms at midnight in jail or injustice or entering the battle armed only with praise and the evident support, triumph through patience, obedient despite our human helplessness. The Bible tells of Abraham struggling with unfulfilled promise of the son. Moses facing the Red Sea, Joshua at Jordan, David exhausted at Ziklag, Jeremiah in tears, and many others, obvious weaknesses that plague the people of God. But in patiently waiting for him, trusting in him, and believing in his promises, they prevail. Again, the Chronicle of Hebrew 11 documents the strength of the faithful and the patient. Don't you know, child of God, God wants us to be faithful, even in the midst of our trials and tribulation. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes you find yourself left with uncertainties. But if you keep trusting, if you keep waiting and keep believing that God is going to work things out for your good, yes, he's going to work it for your good. It may be a long time coming. But good is coming out of your circumstances. The ultimate victory, God is going to bless you with a glorious victory right in the midst of what looks like failure, God is able to do it again. Oh, child of God, child of God, Shandorobo Shanda, Ratobo Shekato Robashandara. We must trust God. When everything stands failure, when everything seems like it's being overthrown in your mind and in your heart, God will do it if we trust and believe him. Now, let's look at here over at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 34 to verse number 40. I'm going to read it in your hearing. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the enemies, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tormented in accepting deliverance, that they might obtain, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others have trials of cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, we just read some of the things that some of the faithful over in Hebrews 11, which is the heroes or hall of fame of the heroes of the faith, have gone through. You know, they were sown asunder. They were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin. They were destitute and afflicted and tormented. And all of these, they were wandering in the desert and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these things that they was going through and things. But they still remain faithful unto God and unto the things of God. And we encourage the people of God, remain faithful unto God and to the things of God. Yes, we see many things that are happening and many things that are transpiring and going on, even in this world today. But I come to encourage you, don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Let the judge. Let God uncover. Let God, the Bible said, let God arise and our enemies be scattered. Let God do what he needs to do and throughout all matters, because God has the final say of everything that is going on, even right now, even in the media, even in the lives of the children of God's life, individually and yet collectively. Let God be God. He's going to do what is right. And we pray for the righteousness of God to prevail. Now let's look further as we are looking at patience. And how do we possess patience and the possession of patience? Patience possesses life and time. Life is growth. All healthy growth is slow and take time. Children develop in many aspects in different scales and speeds. Generally speaking, boys are early on are less verbal but more physically adept than girls, but girls physically mature faster than boys. Some children observe and learn rather than touch and feel. Whether socially, mentally, emotionally, physically, every child has a unique development schedule. Patience must practice patience, and even parents must practice patience through every stage of a child's growth, whether it's the terrible twos or the trying teens. All caregivers of children have to endure the varieties of ages and the growth phases, their changes that go through. Even a hospital nurse cares for a patient as they passes through from the emergency care to critical care to routine care to eventually home care. and a pastor leads a center from the Bible study to the altar to personalized training and mentoring, eventually hoping that the new believers to progress into an avenue even of ministry. Each of these cases requires patience as individual progress through various stages in their lives. Waiting for the harvest, enduring the winter, or making it through the night all requires patience. And sometimes we, even in our night hours or night seasons, in our spiritual walk, we must be able to endure with patience, not walking away from God, not walking away from the things of God, but patiently endure going forth, being steadfast and unmovable, and being faithful to the things of God, waiting. Now, the wonders of technology and the marvels of science still require time for fertilization and growth and maturity. Biological tricks to speed up a multitude of harvests will yield hothouses and produce that is small and pellet and less tasty. Patience for the process is the much better choice. And so it is for our lives, individual. You have to continue faithfully in the things of God to see them grow or see even fruit or see even what God's trying to do in your life and things, because God is trying to walk fruit in our lives as children of God. And it takes faithfulness, being faithful unto God and faithful unto the things of God, faithful to Sunday school. Then you'll see the roots. Then you'll see the fruit. Then you'll see the growth of what God is trying to do in and through the lives of his people. We must patiently endure and patiently keep moving forward in the things of God. Now, let us move further. Patience possesses the soul. Patience is a difficult concept for humans to perceive, especially in the biblical perspective. To individual, waiting is difficult and a trial. However, time and waiting are altogether different to God. He instructed and instituted a prophetic plan in the beginning, and it shall come to pass. To human, it seemed long in coming to fulfillment. However, but it's a moment to God. We know that the days must be shortened for the sake of mankind, according to Matthew 24:22, Mark 13:20. The end times are predicted to be fraught with despair and death, disaster. The heightened intensity associated with the accumulation of prophecy, its fulfillment, and the ultimate destiny of mankind weighs on the human psyche with anxiety, perplexity, and fear. However, the Lord has not given the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7. To his children with faith, hope, and God-given patience, believers will possess their soul. Luke 21, verses 16 to verse number 27. Now, in many ways, the believer is born for adversity, armed and equipped with spiritual weapons greater than any of the man-made or earthly construction. The believer can stand faithful and conquer against immeasurable odds. When God needs someone to stand in the gap and to do the seemingly impossible, or to exercise extreme effort, he uses mature Christians who have patience to wait on the victory. Now, that's key. As children of God, we must wait on the victory. Even though you may not see it coming or happening overnight, it doesn't mean that it's not God's not moving. It doesn't mean that God is not working on your behalf because you don't see a change right overnight. It does not mean that God is not going to give the victory. But those that know God and can wait on God, be faithful, continue on. That's what I share with the saints all the time. Stay faithful. Be faithful to God. God is faithful. We must be faithful unto God. And you will see what God is doing in your circumstances and situation as you be faithful like God's faithful. Don't let circumstance move you from your blessing. Don't let circumstances and misunderstandings and things move you from the place of your blessing. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. What God is saying, do you have faith enough to believe me? Will you be faithful to the things that I've placed in your hand and thing? And so we as children of God, we must just be faithful unto God and faithful to the things of God and watch God bring it all to pass. Now let's look at this scripture. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5, and I'll read that in your hearing. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because you're hoping in God, and for God to do this, it won't make you ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so I encourage you, continue to hope. Continue to believe God. Continue to hold on and continue to wait on God to do what he said he is going to do. Now let's look here. Let's look further. Patience allows us to possess our dream. So Joseph did not give up on his dream in spite of opposition and numerous reverses. He told it to his brethren. They rejected him and his dream. He patiently told everywhere he went and wherever he was. He told it in prison. He told it in the Pharaoh's throne room. Situation and circumstances did not dampen or cause him to be discouraged. His godly conviction or his patience to see the fruition of his dream. And such as it is, I want to encourage you, don't let setbacks and disappointment move you from your dreams and the fruition of your dream. It's that after reconciling with his brothers and after the death of their father, Joseph generously underscored the virtue of patience. When guilt and recrimination was plaguing his carnal brothers with fear of further retribution, Joseph acknowledged their intent to do evil, but was able to see how God could use their evil for good. He did not chide his brother for their short-sightedness or berate their cruel humanity. He patiently loved them and wanted them one day to carry his bones back to the place where he received his dreams. And so he patiently endured and waited to see the fruition of his dream. Now let's look further. Now, God called Abraham, and he lived in Ur, the main metropolis of his day, where it seemed he was financially secured, socially successful, and politically connected. God called on him to leave those safe surroundings and to go to a place that he would show Abraham. And we can only speculate on the resistance and the reasonings that Abraham may have felt before he decided to follow God's call. Surely he must have struggled when confronted by many challenges of the unknown and personal insecurity, but many vulnerabilities. Abraham had only to promise that God would let him know where he was to go at his appropriate moment. Abraham's journey must have been fulfilled with difficulties. But, for example, he suffered numerous separation from his family. When he left Ur, when he left Haran, and when he was separated from his nephew Lot in Canaan, it appears that throughout his journey and the challenges, Abraham kept the right perspective and the right priority, and he patiently followed God's leading. He left a great example of faith and faithfulness, but still he sometimes made bad decisions, such as when he tried to help God fulfill his promise by fathering his son Ishmael. Still, he never gave up the promises of God or his future with God. What a marvelous example to follow in most respects. Let us not become impatient and fall short of the promises of God. Rather, let us be faithful unto the time of receiving God's promises. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now let's further look at this thing about patience. Patience in keeping the word keep one from temptation. Let's look at that. How that being patient can keep us from being patient and from the being tempted and temptation. Now, when a person deceives himself into thinking he has day or plenty of time to repent of their sins and draw near to Jesus Christ, he unwittingly defeats the power of patience. To persist in sin is a personal demand of immediate satisfaction. The narrative of Matthew 24:47-50 and Luke 12:44-47 vehemently portrayed that dynamic. On the other hand, when a person realizes the temporal nature of this existence or their existence, they will commit their life completely to Jesus Christ and endeavor to serve the Lord. In embracing Christ's desires and principles for one's life and continually anticipating his return, believer must manifest godly patience. A lack of patience tempts one to betray the holiness of Jesus Christ and yield to selfish agendas or idleness and pleasure. However, those who exhibit patience shall reap its reward, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come on all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's Revelation 3:10. And so here it said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Child of God, we must keep that word of God, so that he can keep us from the hour of temptation. And it's the word go on to say, which shall come upon all the world. Now let's look clearly. The writer of Proverbs understood this principle regarding patience. Proverbs 13:12 states, hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Without patience, constant requests for prayers and endless hope for healing and living daily with only basic needs can erode faith and defeat confidence and undermine faithfulness. Some people live from blessing to blessing, never learning to temper the barrages of life to a level of spiritual consistency. Now, that is very key, is cultivating a level a spiritual consistency, being consistent in the word, being consistent in the things of God, being consistent and faithful in the things of God is key. Their lives are continually up and down like yo-yo. Their faces reflect the condition and situation of their current surroundings. God wants believers to live above that, for he has promised abundant life, John 10:10. The same principle holds true in a person yielding for carnal satisfaction. A cycle of surrendering and resisting will leave a person spiritually bankrupt if they fail to establish a baseline of holiness that the disciple and discipline their thoughts and action to be consistent and have a consistent level of acceptable behavior. The same patience that empowers a believer to possess his whole soul also will serve to harness their desires and keep them from the temptation. Don't you know we have to harness our desires and harness the things and be faithful and consistent in the things of God, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, being holy and righteous before the Lord our God, not because others are listening, not because others are hearing, but because we're walking uprightly and righteously before the Lord our God in his all-seeing eye, in his all-hearing ear. Nothing is hid from God. Now, patience gives also revival as well as renewal. Though we usually do not think of the concept of tearing apart from one praying at the altar, it is a biblical idea that should be a part of a believer's daily life. One of the last instructions Jesus gave to his disciple involved tarrying. He said over in Luke 24:48, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. On numerous occasions throughout the Bible, there was exhortation to wait. For example, Jesus asked Peter, James, even John to tarry at Gethsemane, Matthew 26:38. It was the plea from the traveler to Emmaus, to the one journeying with them, that eventually brought them revelation, Luke 24:29. It was the invitation to Jesus in Samaria, John 4:40, that brought revival in the book of Acts, Acts 8. It was also a request of Peter in Syria, Acts 10:48, and of Paul, Acts 18:20-28-14. Further, almost every case of tarrying or waited resulted in revelation, revival, or renewal. Paul instructed believers to wait on another communion, 1 Corinthians 11:33. The combination of patience and service presents a dynamic duel that infuses spirituality and ignites passion for revival. Considering the effects of one's promise made on Simeon, Luke 2:25-38. He had received the promise that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's salvation, and he tarried faithfully as he awaited the fulfillment of the promise. He became old and limited in his physical abilities, but he never wavered in his faithfulness to the house of God, waiting for the fulfillment of God's given promise. His joy and exaltation in seeing the baby Jesus brought renewed vigor and exciting hope to him, to the family of Jesus, and to everyone who read the testimony of Luke. And you can read Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Child of God, I come to encourage you today to wait upon the Lord that he may renew your strength. Be faithful to the house of God and to the things of God, to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and even in your walk. Be faithful unto God. Now let's look at the biblical examples of patience and impatience. Let's take a look at that before we conclude here today. The Bible recorded many examples, both of those who exhibit great patience and those who failed to do so. Now consider the pain and suffering and the loss caused when individuals fail to live with godly patience. Abraham did not wait for the promised child, instead intervened, trying to assist God in fulfilling the promise, Genesis 16:15. Ishmael's birth was the beginning of an adversarial people who perpetually warred and competed against the descendant of Isaac, the son of promise. Another one, Saul disobeyed God and offered sacrifice rather than waiting for Samuel. 1 Samuel 15:22. This very act cost him both his standing with God and with the nation. Because of their impatience, the Israelites grumbled against Moses in the wilderness, which was a major cause for the people wandering for 40 years. Paul had no patience with John Mark's failure, and he refused to allow John Mark to accompany him on the missionary journey, which created great contention. Acts 15, verses 39 to 41. Consequently, it caused Paul and Barnabas to go separate ways. On the other hand, consider the great result of those who patiently endured difficult circumstances. Let's look at Job. Job was patient in tribulation. James 5:11. And his end was much greater than his beginning because of his patience. Noah patiently built the ark in obedience to God. 1 Peter 3:20. 2 Peter 2:5. And it became his means of deliverance from the flood. Now Jesus endured the shame of the cross and through it provided the means of redemption for all mankind. Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry for the power from on high, and they obediently and patiently waited for the promises of the Father. Consequently, they received the Holy Ghost and patiently experienced both the new birth and the birth of Christ's church. So possessing ye patience in your soul will walk the promises of God. Let's look at this. Let's look at the word of God or what we just looked at. The word of the Lord said, Luke 21:7-22, and they asked him, Master, what shall these things be? And what sign shall be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them, but ye shall hear wars and commotion. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famine and pestilence, and fearful signs, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, and deliver you up to the synagogue, and put into prisons, and being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your heart, and not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by parents, brethren, kinfolk, and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head shall perish. In your patience possess ye your soul, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountain, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the country enter thereinto. For these be of the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That's what the scripture And that's what we are speaking in reference on today. The world around us will cry for and even evidently demand immediately gratification. Commercialism thrives through the latest developments and features, the fastest suppliers and the smoothest sales pitch. Entertainment ventures shout the latest and the sensational experience. Sadly, it seems whatever it is most bizarre, the most profane, the most offensive, and whatever offers the greatest risk seems to get sales records and draw raving crowds. How should the church respond to these marketing trends? Do not imitate the world's marketing strategy that strives on sensationalism and trafficking in human experience. Do we succumb to, say, formalism with political correctness and ignore modern trends? How will the church respond in our world, and how will it exhibit patience daily? Rather than fall into despair, believers should live with patience. We should look to the model presented by our Lord, who is unfailingly patient in his dealing with mankind. Perhaps one of the best measure of godliness is patience in prayer, in good works, in ministry, in daily service that marks the spirituality is the patience one show in character and behavior to family, friends, and even stranger alike. Life will present many challenges and causes for anxiety, but we just need to be patient and faithful, knowing that the Lord is our guide and ever-present source of strength and even health. In my conclusion, I want to say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the brethren. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46 and verse number 2. And so in my conclusion on today, child of God, I want to encourage your heart that to be still and know that he still is God and he will be exalted. Even in your circumstances and even in your situations that you find yourself going through, watch God be God and strengthen you and fortify you and undergird you and strengthen you in the midst of everything that you are facing even right now, knowing that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. I come to tell you, child of God, God is going to do it in and through your life. All you need to do is hold on and be faithful to God and the things of God, and watch God bless you. Watch God undergird you. Watch God send help unto you because you dare to hold on and wait on the Lord your God. And so I want to pray with you. I want to pray that God will strengthen you. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all those that have listened to this lesson on today. We ask, dear God, that you bless them, that you strengthen them, that you undergird them as they possess their soul and say, soul, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to look for the hand of God. I'm going to seek the hand of God in the manner and watch God fulfill his promises and his blessing in and through our lives. I come to say, God, undergird your people, strengthen them and fortify them and, Father, meet their needs now, God, and Lord, give them the strength to hold on and hold out as you move in and through their lives. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We'll give you glory, God, and give you honor. Strengthen that one that's weak. Undergird that one that's wavering. Fortify, God. Oh, Rato Boshanda. Strengthen them, oh God, as my prayer in their inward man, that they may be the man or the woman of God that you called them out to be. Father, we know that he that will come shall come, and you will not tarry. Oh, Lord, our God, strengthen we, your people. And, Father, we will praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And as I will always say, I want to say I thank God that you joined me on today. I pray that you have came along and obtained a greater understanding about patience, how to endure, how to fortify yourself, and how to suppress and just continue to go on, and your willingness to move forward without losing your temper, without becoming discouraged, but being faithful and staying faithful unto God and to the house of God and the things of God. In spite of what you go through, God is going to do it and strengthen you. And I want you to always remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. Yes, you are. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So in my closing word, if you don't have it, go back to God. If you're still seeking, go back and seek again. You're still knocking. Keep knocking until it's open unto you. And watch God do it on your behalf. Child of God, he really do love you. And I want you to be encouraged and speak courage unto yourself. And as I will tell the children of God, even at Shekinah, grab a hold of courage and get in it and get encouraged. God bless you. It's my prayer, and I'm so glad that you have joined me on today. And until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you, and bye-bye.